This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
And this is Rhett Palmer. It's a new day. I have Brian Thomas in here. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, Rhett.
We also have his son, Joshua, the handsome Joshua. How you doing, Joshua?
I'm doing just peachy keen.
He's 13 years of age going on 40, right?
And, right.
I think the good Lord's given him a lot of wisdom. I always think about you, Joshua, and I've seen a picture of you ministering to a homeless lady on the street. And you've always had a tender heart towards people. And this is a number of years ago. Do you know the picture I'm talking about?
Yes.
I love that picture. Obviously, your father's influence. We got a lot to discuss today. Brian, the father here, you've had kind of a sordid past, which a lot of people do. We all have our ups and downs. We all fall forward. Amen. And God's got to makes an eternity of taking people that fall and are broken and then using them.
Yes.
And he says, a broken and contrite heart the Lord will not despise. A bruised reed he will not break. A smoldering candle he won't snuff out. You know, we can be arrogant in our lives, or we can do wrong, or we can willfully sin or go our own way. And yet if we turn around and say, hey, I want to go your way, God, he doesn't bring to remembrance those things. That, okay, I'll forgive you those things. Let's make a new beginning together.
Amen.
So who's Brian? I know you went to jail earlier in life.
Yes.
I know you had some ups and downs.
Yes.
A little troublemaker you were. Long before you had Joshua and your beautiful bride, you're married.
Yes.
And your daughter's name is?
Brooke.
Okay. And your wife's name is?
Aaron.
Hi, Aaron and Brooke. And hi, everybody else out there. So I think you'll be inspired by this. Brian, let's go back to your beginnings. Where were you born and raised?
Vero Beach, Florida.
Really?
Right here.
Oh. Now, when did you start to get into mischief?
Probably about 11 years old, 12 years old.
That early?
Yes.
So by the time you were your son's age, Joshua's, you were a rip-roaring troublemaker.
Big time.
Tell us about it.
Grew up in a very unstable environment and very broken home. And so I was very rebellious. You know, I didn't feel like I had to heed the instruction of my parents. Very afraid.
What was going on in the household?
A lot of drinking and partying and fighting and dysfunction.
Addiction to alcohol or no?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Alcohol, prescription medication.
Really?
Yes. And so I just, at an early age, adapted that type of lifestyle and, got into tobacco and stealing cigarettes from my parents and alcohol out of the cooler and, just very unattached from life and, the present moment.
They probably weren't giving you a lot of attention either.
No.
I had the same thing. I was brought up with alcohol. We had a lot of dough, but functioning alcoholics, but it was, there was never affection. That's hard. And I've realized this later in life when you don't even know that you're afraid because you are in the middle of fear.
Right.
So you are fear.
Yes.
And you're fear filled.
Right.
But at the time you don't know it. Right.
Right.
And you just hold on to every moment.
That's right.
And because you're rejected, you're hurt, you're lonely, you might want to get attention. Maybe that's why you stole stuff. Or you're just rebelling against it and sort of a lost soul, right?
Right.
What sort of things, tell us more, get into depth about what happened and the trouble you got into and who you were hanging with. You know, the Bible says bad companionship ruins good character.
That's very true, I had a lot of older friends. None of my, few of my friends were my same age. So I always ran with the older crowd and of course, I was, I had an inferiority complex because I was always short. So I was the wildest one of the bunch. And
trying to prove yourself.
Oh, yeah. And gain that acceptance from my peers. And, so it was, starting off with, like I said, smoking cigarettes and drinking beer. And, the usual stuff that a lot of the culture has adopted as cool or fitting in. I got into at a very young age and, LSD and just different types of, drugs of that time that just really, took me down a real dark path.
Isn't it nice that your son doesn't have to go down that dark path?
Amen. Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Joshua, because Josh, you seem very stable, and you seem very mature for a 13-year-old.
Yeah.
And, but, of course, you don't live in fear because you've got a good, stable household. Your mom and dad are there, and, you know.
That, and I got my Jesus.
Amen.
Now, by the way, when did you become, was there a time even in your, because it's amazing, I'll run into young people, which I consider you very young, and they'll actually know there was a time and date when there was a transformation. When was that for you?
So I think it was around 2018, 2019, Mark. My parents had, I'm pretty sure they had just gotten back together after that whole situation, which we'll probably talk about later. But I was called up to the altar. He said, but if you're between 10 and 20, I think he said. And I was
at
like,
Oceans Unite.
Yeah, at Oceans Unite. And so he made that altar call. And I was like, Dad, he said between like 10 and 50. Come on. He's like, no, son. He said 10 and 20. Go up there. And then so I went up there. Obviously, I'm just, I received the Holy Spirit. And I think that's really when my baptism of the Holy Spirit had resurfaced. And yeah, and then after I had gotten prayed for, he went down the line, of course, laying hands and praying in the Spirit. And then he went back up on the stage. And I'm just sitting there just absolutely bawling my eyes out.
Why?
I was really just absolutely, like, this had been the first time I had been touched with the Holy Spirit, like, ever.
What did it feel like?
It was really just like a peaceful, comforting type of feeling. Like, it's really hard to describe.
Yeah, that's what I had too. Yeah, you kind of go, whoa, yeah. You're real.
Yeah. And like, man, I've never felt this type of love before. Like,
see,
man,
you said love. I've never felt this type of love before. Yeah. Isn't that funny? That would come out of your mouth. So how did you know it was love?
It's just a certain feeling. Like, the best way I could describe it is like when you get a hug from your mom or one of your parents and you just receive that love, and that's just the only way I could really
describe
it.
You got a hug from God.
Mm-hmm.
And
absolutely.
So you were, well, if you're 13 now, so I'm figuring, how old were you then? Maybe 10?
I think I was around 8, 9.
Oh, really?
Maybe 10.
Yeah. Well, that's wonderful. And what happened after that?
Well, my parents were sobbing. I come back bawling my eyes out. And I don't know. That was really just when the ultimate shift happened. And I was like, okay, I guess I'm gonna try this whole evangelism thing. I'm going to give it a shot.
The ultimate shift.
Yeah.
You speak well for a 13-year-old. Mm-hmm. Do you have any feeling yet? And please don't feel obligated. And I don't care if some don't, and other adults, you can listen to them, but it's between you and God. Like my calling, I know he called me and gave me my anointing, not by man, but by his Spirit. So I want to know, do you feel an urgency to go somewhere with the rest of your life, or are you, and if you're not, and you're just waiting on the Lord, that too, where are you at spiritually now as a 13-year-old?
I really am. I'm just waiting, just letting the Lord really lead and just decide what he wants to do with me, because I know he has my steps prepared for me.
Are you homeschooled or do you go to regular school?
I was going to regular school, and then back in 2021, I began homeschool.
Oh, probably because of the COVID thing, too.
That, yeah. And just after a lot of the stories that have been passing around, the schools have really just worsened over time.
Really? Do you miss the socialization of not being in a public school or not necessarily? You get a lot of that at the church, don't you?
I get plenty of it at the church and a lot of better social interactions, actually, than I would have at school.
You're amazing. You're like 13 going on 40, as I said, isn't he? He's got a good handle on the language. He's very confident, and there seems to be no guile in your mouth. God bless you, young man. This is great. And your father's story, of course, is very touching. I knew Ernie Hollins was up in Canada, and he was a man who was a bank robber, and he was a train robber. Mm. And he went to jail for 12 years, got out. And Ernie Hollins, I met this guy years ago. He got out of jail, and 3 days later, he got arrested again for robbing a bank. He said, "Oh, good fellas, I'm going home." He'd become institutionalized. He'd gotten so comfortable in jail, yes, he didn't know how to make it in the outside world. Well, he made these phishing lures, and I guess he'd sell them in jail. And this man who owns a big shop up in Canada, what do you call it, a shop where men would go to buy fishing equipment?
Like a bait shop, bait and tackle shop.
Something like that, yeah. And he went over to see Ernie, because Ernie had been right up about him writing these lures. Well, anyway, so the man would start to tell him about Jesus, and Ernie would go, oh, get out of here with your Jesus stuff. But then the man would come once a month, and his family would come in the station wagon, and Ernie would look out the window. He said, I'd put a tie on another tie, and then I'd wave to the kids and him, and then the father would come in, and they'd talk, and he'd bring up Jesus again. Oh, I don't want to hear about this Jesus stuff. Well, anyway, I don't know what happened. But Ernie says, just like you're standing here, I'm going to tell you that Jesus walked into my jail cell and said, Ernie, I'm wiping your slate clean.
Wow.
A short time later, they called and said, you know, Ernie Hollins, you're out of here. He said, no, I got 2 more years. It says right here, you're out of here. So they gave him his walking papers, put him out. A short time later on, the press up in Canada caught wind of it, said, this guy's supposed to serve 2 more years. What's he doing out prematurely? So they went to look up Ernie Hollins on the computer. This is in the early days. We're talking about maybe 40 years ago now. Blank. Ernie Hollins. Blank. Remember, Jesus said, I'm wiping the slate clean.
Wow.
Gave him a brand new beginning. You, too, were in prison. How long were you in prison for?
A little over 5 years.
5 years.
Yeah.
Now, do you want it? And you don't have to talk. Anything I ask you, you don't have to be specific, or you can. We're just here to give glory to the Lord
absolutely.
Today.
Amen.
What were you in there for?
Robbing a gas station.
Robbing
at gunpoint.
What did you need the money for? Drugs?
Drugs.
Were you addicted?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know, and more than just drugs, just that lifestyle, the street lifestyle, chasing money and things and material, and you know, to be recognized and, you know, a lot of stuff that I did also was for, you know, just the thrill, you know, the excitement, the adrenaline of living that lifestyle of crime.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for New Day with Rhett Palmer.
We'd like to thank Center for Advanced Eye Care, Dr. Mallon, Center for Advanced Eye Care with offices in Fort Pierce and in Vero Beach. Thank you for supporting. It's a New Day.
He brought me into his love for me. Oh, his love for me. Who the sun sets free, who is free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. Free at last, he has ransomed. His grace runs deep. While I was a slave to sin, Jesus died for me. Yes, he did.